In your hymn book.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Oh, Satan's lie, a roaring lie, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his friends.
God bless you. Get to be in service again together. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Darrell, I believe, hurt his right ankle and is in pain from that. I want to remember him in prayer. Also, my Aunt Wanda not feeling well this morning. I want to remember her in prayer. And little Savannah Soderquist, she's sick this morning. I want to remember her. And Sister Patty Hansel's daughter, Morgan, she's in quite a bit of pain this morning as well. So I want to remember her in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. Let's bow together and approach the Lord. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here in your house tonight, Lord, or this morning. Lord, thankful, Lord, for the path that you've led each one of us along. Lord, things haven't always been perfect, but you've always been there, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we bring these requests to you this morning. People that are sick, people that are in need of different things, Lord. I know my daughter is sick, been throwing up and different things, Lord, but we know you're there to meet that need and touch her body. For the other ones, Lord, I just pray that you'd send your angel this morning to bring to pass your word, your promise, Lord, that by your stripes, that sacrifice that you had so long ago, Lord, that we're healed. And we're thankful, Lord, that you have provision for our bodies. You created them. You designed them. You know how to fix them, Lord. As Brother Nathan's been preaching, the architect of our bodies, that's you. We just pray now, Lord, that you come and heal us. And for so many folks, Lord, just thinking about the Johnson family, how they've struggled with different sicknesses, Lord, we rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. Lord, that sickness that comes on this time of year for so many families, we just pray, Lord, and we know that you can keep us healthy and safe, Lord. We want to go forward and serve you just a little better today, a little better tomorrow, Lord, whatever it is, whether it's a housewife, whether it's a farmer or a construction worker, we just want to go forward in the work that you have for us, Lord. And now we come here today. Many people are out watching sports or doing different things, Lord, but we're here as your children, Lord, in your house, and we come with expectant hearts, Lord, looking forward to what you would have for us today. Lord, we know the word will be opened, and we look forward to hearing that word and applying it to our lives. And Lord, we also look forward to worshiping you, Lord, in spirit and truth. We're so thankful to be Christians, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we pray that you be with us the remainder of this service. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to be reading the Psalms. It's going to be the 35th chapter. That's 3-5. And we'll read 1 through 14. And the Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. 35th chapter of the Psalm. It says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them.
Let their way be dark as a slavery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them.
For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, and without cause they have digged for my soul.
Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath created catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall.
And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation.
All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him.
False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not. But as for me, When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I have behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. God bless you, and you may be seated.
If the brothers would please come at this time. I was out driving yesterday, and this song came on my heart. I'm going to try it this morning, and you guys that know the verses, help me out.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all
only real peace that I have. frustrations, Lord, I need you. Oh, I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Let's sing it once more together.
Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Yes, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Through all Lord, I know I do, and the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Well, we've selected this time and had announced it last week. Lord willing, we're going to have our annual elections this morning. I'm just going to ask if the brothers would come at this time, the deacon brothers and trustee brothers, and they would come to the platform. And just want to say that I certainly appreciate all, first of all, that the Lord has done for us in this last year, blessing us with the building and blessing us with some wonderful services. We've had some wonderful special meetings, guest ministers, and different things that the Lord has done, healings, and seen people filled with the Holy Ghost and saved, and lives turned around, and it's just encouraging to see what God is doing. And Brother Bram said that God always uses human instrumentality to do those things. And so when I look around and I see the different brothers, the different minister brothers that help with the services, and Brother Furman with the song leading, each of our musicians, we've been certainly blessed. And we've got not only good musicians, but then when they're sick or out or whatever, we've got been blessed with some wonderful backup musicians and deacons that just really, I've heard so many people comment when they come in how welcome they feel and how they appreciate our deacons. And our trustees have certainly done a wonderful job getting things nicer. Even the neighbors have been coming over and telling me how nice the building looks since we've got it, the work that we've done and things like that. So I appreciate those things. But I just want to have a word of prayer before we have the vote. Let's just bow our heads this morning, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne this morning, Lord, with another year facing us and decisions to be made, things to be done, Lord, services to be held. And Lord, as we approach you, we just ask for leadership and wisdom and guidance, Lord, and in the services. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way for us again this year, Lord. 2016 was such a blessing, Lord, to us, how you blessed us with the building and you blessed us with health and healing and spiritual growth, Lord, and so many things that you've blessed us with, Father. But Lord, we're facing another year, facing trials, facing crossroads, and facing situations, Lord. And we just ask for wisdom again this year, Lord. Whatever you'd have us do, whatever you'd have us to say, however you would have us to handle each situation that faces us, Father. Lord, we ask you for the strength and the mercy and the grace to be able to do what would be pleasing to you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. Well, we did it a little different last year, and I think I'm going to do it again that way again this year. Instead of going through each individual office, unless there is a problem, if the people vote that they want to see something changed, then we'll go through the individual offices. But I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads this morning, and as we put this before the Lord, Brother Bram said the majority vote was what we took to be the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he taught us that those that come and support the church with their prayers and their tithes and their attendance are those that have a vote in the church. I'd like to just see by a raising of your hand, how many would like to see, as far as the church offices, everything just to stay the way that it has been this last year? Would you raise your hand, all that want to see it stay the same offices, deacons and trustees? All right, you can lower your hands. And how many, with your head still bowed, how many would like to see anything change in the offices or officers, something to be changed from the way that it is now? Would you raise your hands? All right, you can raise your heads. With 100% vote, as far as I was able to see, we're going to keep things the way they are this coming year. We certainly appreciate that, appreciate our brothers, the work and the time that they put into the services and to making the building nice for you all. And I just want to give them a hand clap this morning. Amen. Usually my little nephew Jackson, he usually votes both ways, yes and no. So I told him this year, if you get two votes, you have to pay double tithes. This is how we're going to do that. So no, I'm just teasing on that. But amen. Let's just sing another song, worship the Lord together this morning. I believe this is number 228 in your hymn book. Let's just stand and sing it where you have a little bit more room to praise the Lord a little bit.
Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, and he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Well, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Lord, I need thee every hour. And while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, when I wander through that valley dim toward the setting of the sun, just lead me safely to that land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. Well, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. Well, there's no other friend, Lord, on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, Lord. Oh, I need thee every hour. Oh, while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving hand. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, Lord, look down on me. Oh, when I need in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus. Oh, shake somebody's hand while we sing it this morning. Thank you.
God bless you. Just turn with me, if you would, this morning to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And want to look at verse 21. I want to say I appreciate you coming out on a cold morning like this. I know it would probably been easier to stay at home on the flesh, but there's a fire burning on the inside, so that's all right. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, with this little thought that you've placed on my heart, Lord, I know it may seem simple, and Lord, I know many would probably prefer some deeper thing, Lord, to look at, but Lord, it's what you placed on my heart, and I believe sometimes we need to go back and look at some of these things that seem so simple to us, but yet they're so important. And Father, I just ask that you be through the continuation of this service, that you might just take complete control. Lord, we thank you for every song that has been sang, for every word that's been spoken. Lord, for your great Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, Lord, and how to move forward for the coming year, Lord. And Lord, just seeing these officers, Lord, doing such a wonderful job this last year that the people could vote with 100% satisfaction to keep them, Lord, and to move forward. Lord, how it blesses our hearts to see, Lord, that you're still moving and you're still using individuals, Lord, to further your kingdom. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with each one that's present here this morning, each family that's represented. Lord, may you just give them a special blessing. Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I was looking around for Brother Arnie, and it looks like he's not here this morning, but I have to give credit where credit is due. Brother Arnie, about 6 months ago, came up here to pray over some prayer requests, and he made a statement. I don't remember what his original statement was, probably about the prayer requests or something along that line, and he made a statement, which is actually a slogan that Apple has. But he was talking about the needs that the people had. He said, there's an app for that. And as soon as he said it, I thought, that's going to be a sermon sometime. And so I was just waiting for the right time. It seemed like the Lord led for that this morning. So the sermon title this morning is, there's an app for that. And in this age, you know, of technology, it seems that way, that whatever, you know, if you need to find directions or if you need to find a restaurant or a hotel or anything you have need of, it seems like there's an app for that. But we're not talking about a technological app this morning, but I want to look at this application of the blood this morning. And we find in Exodus chapter 12, as we looked here, it wasn't enough for there to be a lamb. God had provided these families with a lamb, and Moses commands them for each of the families to take a lamb according to their family. Now, we know that this was during the time of the plagues, as we looked at it recently, and there had been a plague that was pronounced through the mouth of God's prophet, and it really didn't matter what the people thought. It didn't matter whether Pharaoh's army believed it or whether they didn't believe it. Once it was spoken through the mouth of God's prophet, it was going to come to pass regardless, because once God had that thought from eternity, and then he places that on the lips of his prophet, and the prophet speaks a word. As we've looked at it many times, it may have taken 800 years, like in the case of Isaiah saying a virgin shall conceive, but it didn't matter so much the amount of time that it took for the prophecy to be fulfilled, but it just mattered that when God spoke, it was going to be fulfilled. And so when Moses comes and he speaks this plague and says that all the firstborn in Egypt is going to be slain, yet God provided an atonement. And maybe there was a lot of Israelite families there that when Moses spoke this, they were concerned and they were scared. And as we looked at it a few months ago, maybe the little boy sitting over there in the corner and maybe all disturbed and upset and maybe worried, because they could hear that death angel coming through the city, and they could hear this one being slain over there, and little children and adults and cattle and animals, whatever it would be, all the firstborn, all the way down through out there, the land of Egypt was being slain. But over in Goshen, there were some children that could sit there and they could come to their daddy and say, "Oh, daddy, do you hear those screams? And do you hear that? What's going on out there? It sounds terrible." He said, "That's okay. There's an app for that." And he had already made an app. He had already applied the blood over the door. Now, there was others that were in Goshen that if they didn't apply the blood, even though they had got in Goshen and even though they had withstood all the other plagues without any consequence or any harm, yet in this specific plague, it was not just enough to be in Goshen, but there had to be an application of the blood. It wasn't just enough for your family to say, "I believe that God sent a prophet." That was wonderful. It had got them that far. It wasn't just enough for them to say, "Well, we have a lamb that's been provided for us." That was wonderful. That had got them that far. It wasn't just enough for them to look and say, "Look, we've slain the lamb." That was wonderful. That was part of it. But that wasn't enough for what they were getting ready to face. It wasn't enough for them to just say that we have the hyssop and we have all the requirements. But they had to take those requirements and they had to apply it. That's where many people fail today. They have the word. They believe God sent a prophet. They have the quotes. They have the scriptures. They have all of these different things, and they can maybe quote it just as hard as you can. Maybe they can memorize it better than you can, and they have all that they need. They have a provided lamb. They have a prophet. They have the hyssop. They have the blood shed for them. They have all these things, but if you don't apply the blood, it's not going to do your family or yourself any good personally. It had to be a personal thing for each of these families to go and strike the blood over the doorpost. Now, we find again in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5, there was a time that the people came up against a situation and they had spoken against God and against his prophet, and because of this, a plague begins to come in upon them. And in Numbers 21 verse 5, it says, "The people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the Lord came to Moses and said," came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." Now, I find it interesting. Here they were running down the prophet, complaining against what the Lord was doing and all these different things. But once they hit a time of trouble, now they come back around and want the prophet to pray for them. That took a lot of grace. That took a lot of grace for him to do that. But it says, "And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it,
shall live. Now, Moses goes out, and the same God that said, thou shalt have no graven images, the same God that said, thou shalt have no idols before me, he tells Moses, he says, you go out and you take a piece of brass, and I want you to carve a serpent out of it, and I want you to hold it before the people, and everybody that looks at that brass serpent is going to live, and everybody that doesn't look is going to die. You say, what on earth did that brass piece of metal or that piece, that pole of brass, what did that have to do with anything? Well, it did represent something, but it wasn't that there was any virtue in the brass. It wasn't that they were worshiping an idol of a serpent's head. It was that they were doing obedience to God's word. There's many things in the scripture. I can't explain to you all of the mechanics and the whys and the how-tos. And as we looked at it a few weeks ago, the different things that take place in the scripture. Why did Naaman have to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River? Why did Jesus take clay and spittle and rub it on the man's eyes? Why didn't he just speak and say, let your eyes be open? I believe he could have done it. Why did Brother Branham have to throw up a rock and say judgment striking the west coast? Why couldn't it have just taken place? There's these symbols and things that take place in the scripture, and many times people were commanded to do things and they could have looked and said, that's absolutely ridiculous. That has nothing to do with my healing. When Elisha, we looked at it Wednesday night, took and threw the meal into the pot that had death in it, the people could have looked and said, what on earth does a little bit of meal have to do with it? I'm still not going to eat of that. But yet it was a time of famine and they had a need to eat. And those that had confidence in the prophet's word, even though scientifically throwing a little bit of meal into some porridge would have had nothing to do with cleansing the death in the pot, but yet it was a type of Jesus Christ, of the meal offering, and obedience to God's word is what brought it to pass. Hey man, it didn't matter how much you could have criticized and said, look at that. That same guy out there that got mad and he threw on those tablets and he got out there and he melted our graven images that we had made, our two gods that brought us out of Egypt, that they thought, the calves that they'd had Aaron build. And he got so mad at us that he even threw down God's word and broke it everywhere. And now look at him. He's out there making a brass idol of a serpent and holding it out before us and telling us to look at it. The same guy. He got so mad at us and said, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock? And he always gets so upset at us with what we're doing and making idols and doing this and doing that. And now look, he's doing the exact same thing. No, he wasn't. Because they made gods of their imagination and they made gods of their memory from things back that they saw in Egypt. But he was doing what God's word told him to do. Now, to the natural intellectual eye, it looked the same, but in God's eyes, it was very different. And in their eyes, you know, it might have looked the same. Here it is. What's the difference between a golden calf and a brass serpent? A lot of difference when God tells you to do one and he tells you not to do the other. Amen. Oh, that doesn't seem fair, Brother Nathan. Well, if you were God, you could make the rules. If I was God, I could make them. But trust me, we'd be in a lot bigger mess if you or I was God. Brother Branham said, he said, if I was God and I gave people my word and they wouldn't accept it, he said, that would be it. But he said, God, he has mercy and grace and long suffering. He sends his word and the people don't believe it. And he sends his prophets, so they don't believe that. And he sends his ministers and he sends his signs and he sends his wonders. And he keeps providing grace after grace after grace. I'm glad that we're not just trusting in some man-made system that's built up like some of these denominations are, in some intellectual thinking or some made-up religion like Scientology or something like that. I'm thankful that we have a God that from the beginning, before the foundations of the earth, already had everything set in order the way that it would be, and just obedience to his word and the application of what his word says will bring these things to pass. Amen. There's not any tricks up our sleeves or no magic portions. It's just obedience to God's word. Amen. And Moses, when he held this out before the people, there were some of the people that could have said, bless God, I'm not looking at that thing. I'm not looking at some brass serpent when he told me to tear down my golden calf. You know what happened to him? They died in the wilderness. Those people that said, bless God, I'm not, you know, God told him to speak to the rock, not smite it. I'm not drinking of that water. You know what happened to him? They died in the wilderness. But those that said, look, I don't understand it. I don't see how a brass serpent can mean one thing and a golden calf can mean something else. But you know what? I've seen the signs and wonders following his ministry. I know that he's vindicated. And I may not be able to explain it all, but I believe it all. Right. Those were the ones that lived. Jesus, you know, Brother Bam preaches that sermon, look away to Jesus. And if we can look and live this morning, there's still something that's provided for us. It's not a brass serpent, but yet Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there was a brass serpent in the wilderness that once they applied what God had told them to do, to look at this brass serpent, there was deliverance. But in our day, it wasn't a brass serpent that was lifted up, but it was Jesus Christ that was lifted up. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But that's more than just saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. Or if so, then Satan has eternal life too, because the Bible says that Satan believes and trembles. So there's a little bit more than just saying you believe, or even just intellectually believing. There's an application that has to go along with it. Now we find that this brass serpent, Brother Branham teaches us, and even a lot of biblical historians and things will bring this out, that brass represented judgment. And when it was this snake on the pole, it represented sin already judged. They say, oh my, somebody asked my Uncle Morris one time, said, oh my, did Branham start that stuff about the serpent seed? He said, I didn't mean to be a smart aleck, but I said, no, if you want to be honest about it, Moses started it. Moses was the first one that wrote about the serpent seed. And then in his own ministry, a brass serpent showing sin already being judged, it represented and spoke back to what that original sin was. And all these things tied together, and how that his heel would bruise the serpent's head, and all of these different things, it culminated up to where all these subtypes and antitypes and all these things, as Brother Ram talks about a shadow, and he said, if you got your hand way out here and it's making a shadow on the wall, he said, it doesn't look very much like you, but the closer that you get to that, until that shadow and that hand become one, they begin to look more and more and more alike. And as the Old Testament and the New Testament begin to blend together, we begin to recognize, thankfully, by the revelation that God sent through a prophet, we can look back and see all these types in the Old Testament, that it was just shadows of things that were to be in the life of Jesus, how that his life would be he would be a lamb, and he would be a savior, and he would be the meal offering, and he would be represent that brassy judgment of sin already being judged, and how that he would be lifted up like the brass serpent, and all these types on and on and on through the Old Testament, he represented those things. And we find in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now Brother Branham picks it up in Israel in the Church part 4 in 1953, and he says they were murmuring against God and against Moses and were bitten by serpents. The serpent taken care of a twofold application. The first was to forgive their sins and to heal their sickness. And Jesus was lifted up that he might forgive our sins and heal our sickness. A twofold application. Time-tested faith, 1958. He says, now in the Old Testament, when the blood was applied over the lintels of the door, I'm told it was put on by hyssop, dipped in the blood and rubbed over the door. Hyssop is just a common weed. And that's how it was applied, by hyssop, something you could just reach down anywhere and get a handful of it. And how appropriate, he says, that is tonight to apply hyssop as faith. You put the blood on by faith. How we're covered by the blood, by faith, common faith. Well, you say, but for miracles and for healing, Brother Branham, is some different type of faith. He said, no, it's the same faith. There's only one faith. Oh, hyssop was just an old weed that you could reach down and get anywhere, get a handful of it. It wasn't something they had to go out and search and have a school dedicated to this and have guys out there making this for them. It was something that was readily available. It wasn't something that was difficult. It was something that was right there for them if they could just reach their hand and get a hold of it. I hope you can recognize this morning that faith is the same way. Jesus didn't say that we had to go out and we had to meditate for 5,000 hours to work up something, or that we had to jump up and down, work ourselves into some kind of an enthusiasm, but it was just something as small as a mustard seed. If you could just reach and get your hand a hold of a little bit of faith, then it would even move mountains.
That's right.
You say, oh, I don't have the faith to do this. I don't have the faith to do that. It's there. You just reach out and get a hold of it this morning. It takes more than just an intellectual conception of knowing that the blood has been applied. It takes more than just an intellectual conception of knowing that Jesus has died to save our sins. Hey, there's a lot of atheists that can repeat those words and that can come to some type of intellectual comprehension of that. But it takes an application of it. And the only way that you're going to be able to apply that to yourself personally is to get a hold of some faith and recognize he didn't just die for somebody in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Or he didn't just die for somebody that was better or more holy than you, but you reach and get a hold of a little bit of that hyssop this morning and apply it to yourself and say, for my sins, his blood was shed. For my soul, he died so that I could be saved. An application, the dictionary says, is the special use or purpose to which something is put. Brother Branham says in 1960, he said, what healed me? The blood of Jesus. What saved me? The blood of Jesus. That's all my hope and thing. That's all my cry. That's all my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now that's God's application. Amen. It makes you a different person. There's something about this application. There's many times that you're going through something, and you know there's men that are programmers, then they can make very customized applications. Maybe you have a bank that uses an application, and you need to check your balance for your checking account. There's an app for that. And what it is that programmers have taken, Brother Joshua and some of these brothers that know much more about computers and code and things like that than I do, they know some of the ins and outs of those things, to how a programmer will sit down there, and he's already got the main language of this code laid out. They've already got certain rules that have been made into this language. They can't just go in and make up all kinds of different rules and things. They have to abide within the language that they're writing within. But when they go to make this, they can take this language, whether it's C++ or C# or all these, I don't know, C++ and all these different codes and things. I don't know what they all are. But programming codes, they can go in and take that, and banks and companies, different Amazon and Walmart and different companies will pay programmers great deals of money to sit down and design something that's very specific to their company. Now, the program is already there. The hardware is already there. All these different things are already there. But they want somebody to come in and design something very specific to their needs, very specific to whatever they're trying to sell or whatever they're trying to do. And a programmer will sit down there and you know, if you bank with PNC Bank and somebody else banks with Bank One, PNC can't say, well, hey, there's an app for Bank One. All of our customers will just go and use that. But they have to have somebody that knows the code and knows how to create this app within the software to be able to go and make a specific app designed for their company with their information and your banking information or your shopping information or whatever it would be that you're trying to do. They go in and design something specific to their company, specific to your needs, so that when you think, oh my, I need to check and see if that check went through, or I need to pay a bill online or something like that. There's an app for that because somebody sat down and designed it in such a way, but they didn't design it without of the realms of the code that was originally written. If they did, when you go in and you try to use that app, there's going to be an error. There's going to be a failure because it doesn't recognize what's being said. That's the problem with a lot of people, is they've got outside of the Word of God, and then they try to go and, well, there's an app for healing, and they try to go and get healed, but they come in the wrong name, or they come in the wrong way, or they don't apply faith to use it, and they get in there and there's an error. We don't recognize your username and password. Or this system can't load. This app can't be loaded. Why? Because they're trying to do it with outside of the realms of the code that's been written. Amen. Oh my. Brother Joshua ought to be shouting over there by now. There's something about it that we have to go within that. Now, when you do, and you have a specified need, as we were over at Brother Lauren's house the other day, and we were talking about how that with the trial, there comes a way of escape, and that God sometimes, he specifies these paths that we walk on, and not only does he specify the path that you're walking on, he specifies the way of escape specifically for you personally. Right. Now, if I tried to take Brother Doug's path, And he's got things he's got to do tomorrow, and I think, well, I'm just going to go on Brother Doug's path today, I would fail miserably. I would go in and they would begin to ask me questions about what paint I should use for this and what color we should use for that and when can you schedule this and who can you do to work, who can you schedule to work that? And I would be absolutely lost and not know what to do or what to tell them. Or if I went and tried to do Brother Daniel's job and somebody began to ask him all kinds of questions about what are we going to do with this store over here and what are the sales at this store over there, I would be absolutely out of my league and I wouldn't know what to do because that's not the path that God has specified for me. No doubt if they were to try to walk in my steps, there'd be things that were asked them that they would say, I don't know, but there's an app for that. And there would be things in your spiritual walk that maybe you're going through a trial this morning, and maybe Brother David Andes is going through a trial, and maybe Brother Randy is going through a trial, and maybe, you know, they're looking at their trial, and they're within their trial, and they're thinking, oh my, I sure wish I could have so-and-so's trials. Their trials are so much easier than mine, or maybe so-and-so is looking at their trials thinking, oh my, I just wish I could have this brother's trials. It seemed like everything is just so easy for him. But if you switch those paths, you would find out very quickly you would probably want to trade back with your old trials because God has custom tailored your path and your trials and your circumstances for you because he knows what you can handle. He knows what you can take. And there are things, the Bible said he never give us more than we could bear and that with the temptation or with the trial or with the circumstance, he would also provide us with a way of an escape. Now, that doesn't always mean that we're just going to click our heels together and exit the trial out the left door. That means that he's going to give us strength for the trial. That means that he's going to give us understanding at some point of why we went through the trial. That means that he's going to give us grace even when we're maybe stumbling and falling in the trial. He's going to provide us a way. But that way is your way. Amen. There's things that you might go through that somebody else might not be able to handle. They would just fall flat on their face. But there may be things that you're facing that same person, they would throw up their hands and say, I don't know what to do. Because God has been preparing you for your entire life. And he doesn't go outside the bounds of his word and throw some trial on you that nobody else has ever faced. The Bible said that these temptations are just common as what's come to man. There's nothing new under the heaven, Solomon said. And these trials and tribulations that we face, God didn't just dump this all on you and say, well, I'm just going to pour more on this guy than I ever have anybody. And you know, he's just going to have to deal with it. And I'm not going to give him enough scriptures and quotes to be able to stand on to get him through his trial. But what God does is within the realms of his word, he's going to come and he's going to give you what you have need of to get through that. He said, that's God's application. It makes you a different person. Now, I like this. He's referring to Marilyn Monroe in 1962 in the sermon, All Things. He says, poor little girl probably had a hard way. And she always hungered for something. I wish I could have got to her. I know what she needed. I knew what she needed. Yet she joined churches and everything else. But it was just a ritualistic form. She needed the application of the blood. I love how he looks at this, and most people probably wouldn't have given her a chance, and yet they called him a woman hater, and he said, I wish I could have got to her. I know what she needed. I know what she was searching for. She just needed the application of the blood. Fellowship 1956, he said, the blood applied to the human heart will always bring a result. That's what we need tonight. And when you get that, then things will just automatically take place when we do that. Now, if you have an app on your phone, if you've got a smartphone, or if you don't, you've got a computer and you know what an app is, when you go in and you go to select it, there's an expected result that when you go to do that, you click on it and you're expecting it to do something. You're expecting it to prompt you for your username and password, or you're expecting it to tell you what the weather is, or you're expecting it to come up and allow you to search a sermon or a quote and to play that sermon on your phone. All these different apps that have been created, when you click on that, there's an expected result. And if you click on that app and it doesn't do what you expected it to, I don't know about you, but I've never just walked over and thrown my smartphone in the garbage and said, well, so much for that. The instructions said it would do this. The manual said that it would do what it was supposed to, and it crashed on me, so I'm just going to throw it in the garbage. No, you don't do that. You go back and you begin to research. What is it? Is there something with the hardware? Does it need to be rebooted? Is the software not up to date to be able to run this? Is there something wrong with their application that the code has been written wrong and they need to update that to work with my OS? Or what's going on here? There's some type of a problem that's causing this. And when we go to find something that we think, you know, oh my, I had this trial and it seemed like, you know, I just couldn't get over it. And I had this sickness and just seemed like Satan just kept giving it back to me. And I don't go over and throw the Bible away and say, well, it said that these signs shall follow them that believe. I begin to retrace my steps and I say, what's wrong, Lord? Did I not get enough hyssop? Did I not have enough faith to apply what the scripture said? Or is there something else in the way that's preventing this? Or is there some reason that you're placing this upon me? It's not the code that's wrong. There's something wrong with the way that you're applying the app, or there's something wrong with the hardware. There's something wrong between an error between the user and the keyboard or something. There's something going on that's causing it not to work the way that it should. Usually we find out it's ourselves. Hidden Life with Christ, 1956. Another sinner raised your hand and say, Brother Branham, I would sure like to be there. I'd like to eat that manna. Just see what the goodness of the Lord is. Oh, I know I belong to church. I went there a long time. But as far as being saved, I never have. I'm not fooling myself. I've got to live with myself. I have a little confession. Oh, I said I believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but I know the devil says the same thing. He said, devils beg for mercy, beg for peace. Beg not to be punished and recognize him and confess before the crowd that he was the Son of the living God. That's right. That don't save you. No, sir. The application of the blood of Jesus to your heart is what saves you. Truly it is. Yeah. Satan is able to look back and recognize. Now, he may not have known when it was taking place. Brother Branham said he didn't, because he wouldn't have stunk that stinger of death into Christ if he had known what the results was going to be. But as that stinger, you know, a bee or a wasp or any type of animal or insect that has a stinger, when it injects that stinger, if it injects it far enough to where it can't pull it back out, the bee or the wasp or the hornet or whatever it is, it can go on living without that stinger, but it can never sting anybody else again. And there's something about it. Some of you might be allergic, or some of you might be scared to death of bees or whatever, but if you could look close enough and see that bee swarming around your head and recognize, oh, he ain't got no stinger, you wouldn't be too worried. You wouldn't be out there dancing like you was, getting ready to go to a party, or like you was getting blessed by the Holy Spirit trying to fan it away. I watch some of these sisters sometimes when a bug gets near them, and you can see, they say, oh, they're not emotional, but you got a little bug or a mouse get near them, you'll find out how emotional they are. And you're out there dancing around, fanning and doing all these different things. If you could see that thing didn't have no stinger, you wouldn't be doing it. You say, what are you doing? You're not going to bother me. I'm not scared of you. And when that stinger sunk itself into Jesus Christ at Calvary, and Satan thought, ha, I got him now. Oh, he had some signs and wonders, and he had some things, but, you know, I got him like I did David, and I got him like I did Daniel. I got him like I did Moses. And then that little stinger of death began to try to pull out, and he said, uh-oh, Satan, there's a problem here. I need a little backup. I need a little help. And he said, oh, what have you done? What have you done? He sunk that stinger of death so deep in that when he pulled out, now he can just buzz around us. And Paul could say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? What was it? He had an app. He recognized that there was something else, that he didn't have to fear death anymore. Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I was always afraid of death. I thought I'd just be a little cloud that floated around out there somewhere. But once he went beyond it and experienced what it was like beyond the curtain of time, he said, I don't fear death anymore. He said, to go from this to that would be to go from the ridiculous to the sublime. The application of the blood of Jesus to your heart is what saves you. Now, the devil can fear, he can tremble, he can believe even that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He can look at all these different things. He can read it intellectually. He can do that. So if just confessing by your lips and saying, I believe that God sent a prophet, I believe that he sent his son to die for us, and I believe that all these different things, if just quoting the scripture by an intellectual reasoning is all that it takes, then you make Satan saved. But Satan can do all of that. But what he can't do is apply the blood to himself. It's the application of the blood is what does it. Questions and Answers, The Law Having a Shadow, 1954. He said, and when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to you, your sins are your habits and filth of this world that you wallowed in is gone from you. It has to be a personal application. You can't say, well, my granddaddy, he applied it, and so I'm just going to depend on his app. And you know, the pastor applied it, and I'm going to depend on his app. And the deacons have applied it. We're going to depend on them. We're going to depend on this one. It has to be something that's personal to you. And I realize that's very simple, just a simple salvation message. But I believe in this age, we got young children coming up that, you know, they need to hear some of these simple salvation messages. Amen. They need to recognize this, not just enough for daddy or granddaddy or so-and-so to have it, but it's got to be something that's applied to them. It's something that they've applied personally, that they've accepted. Lord, I don't just accept that you died 2,000 years ago and that you were God in the flesh, but I accept that you died for me personally, a personal application of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says again in fellowship in 1955, and when the blood has been properly applied, sin is done away with, and man is back in fellowship with God. You see, when Adam fell in the garden, it put a cavern between us and between Christ. It put a breach between us. And we find that no matter how we would want to try to cross over that, that there wasn't anything that we were worthy to reach back into fellowship with God again. And Adam had walked with him in the cool of the evening and had fellowship with God and could talk to God. And he was an amateur God himself, an amateur creator. Brother Branham said, to be able to speak to the wind and it ceased, and to be able to speak to the animals and they would obey him. And all these different things were under his control and under his dominion. But now, because of the fall, these things begin to transpire, and he's lost fellowship with God, and this chasm that was placed between us and God, no matter how hard we would try to go back, and no matter how much there was the blood of bulls and goats, there was a chasm that had been breached that we couldn't go across to get back into perfect fellowship with God. But once the blood of Jesus Christ had been shed, it provided a way to restore fellowship back between God and man. Now, it wasn't just enough that the blood would be shed, but then the blood had to be applied. Let's read it again. He said, when the blood's been properly applied, sin is done away with, and man is back in fellowship with God. If just the shedding of blood was enough, then when anybody that was born after Jesus died was born, they would just automatically be saved because the shedding of blood had taken place. But we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies. But it wasn't just the shedding of blood, it was the application of that blood to your life. The application of that blood to your sins, the application of that blood to your circumstances, that's what made the difference. Oh my. They stood up on the day of Pentecost and they said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? Peter said, there's an app for that. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Not only that, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, and not only you, but your children and their children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. You got lost family members? Paul stood up and told the Philippian jailer, there's an app for that.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't just believe for you, but believe for your house, and not only you, but you and your house shall be saved. There's an app for that. Apply the token. It's not enough just to say that, well, Brother Bram came and preached the token. That's wonderful, but now you have to apply it to your situation. You have to apply it to your family. Say, Lord, they're mine. I'm not going, as Moses said when they started to go out of Egypt. They said, you know what? We'll let you go. You and all the elders and all your wives and your grandparents and all them, you go ahead and go, but just leave the children and the animals behind. He said, we're not leaving one hoof behind. I don't know about you, but I'm not leaving one hoof behind. It's not just enough for me to say, thank God he gave me the Holy Ghost and my wife, and thank you, Jesus. But I'm not stopping there. There's an app to go a little further than that. Amen. I'm going to apply the blood, not just for me and not just for her, but for our whole family. I'm going to apply the blood, apply that token. It's not getting some hyssop and dipping it in blood and painting it over the door today, but it's reaching down and getting a little bit of faith and saying, God, if I can have faith to apply it for myself, I can certainly have faith to apply it for my family. If I can have faith to apply it when I know all the little dirty things that I did and all the things I thought and all the things that I said, if I can have enough to reach down and stoop and pick up a little bit of faith and rub that blood, apply it to myself, then I believe that I have enough faith to apply it for my children that haven't done anything yet. Under the age of accountability, certainly I can have enough faith for that. If you could have enough faith for yourself, knowing where you came from and all that you had went through and all that you had did and how far that you had run, but yet you can have enough faith to reach down and grab a little bit of the hyssop and say, Lord, I apply this to me personally. Why don't you take that same thing and apply it to your family? Amen. Oh my, too many people give up too quickly. I heard of a preacher in Florida that was teaching that if anybody's children in the church backslid at all, they were just serpent seed. I said, you know how long he'll preach that? Until his children are teenagers. And then he'll want an app for that. He'll want to come back and correct some things that he said, but yet they'll put yokes on people that they don't want to bear themselves. I thank God that we followed a prophet that didn't try to put yokes on the people and then do something else for his family. Amen. Didn't put yokes on the people, say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. But me and my family, we get a get out of jail card free. No, he was transparent, as we looked at a few Wednesday nights ago, to where some of the situations going on in his own family, he'd come up and say, you know, we're going through this and we're going through that. And this took place and that took place. Many things that a lot of preachers would have tried to sweep under the rug and hid. But I'm thankful that he did that, because then when we go through situations like that and you're going through paths like that, you can look and have a little bit of grace and say, thank God, if you brought him through it, you can bring me through it. I'm thankful that we have an application of the blood, that when we're going through a trial and it looks dark and it looks grim and it looks like there's maybe no end in sight, but yet we can look by faith and we can reach and apply the blood to that situation and say, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I've said all that I can do. I've tried to do the very best that I know how to do, and now I've got to take my hands off of it and just place it in your hands and apply the blood to that situation. I'm thankful we serve a God like that, that when it's too big for us and too much for us, that we can take our hands up and say, Lord, I just apply the blood to the situation. Amen. There's an app for that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come. I don't know what you have need of this morning. I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ, or where you're at in your trials or your circumstances. But I can tell you one thing. There's an application of blood of Jesus Christ that he's placed you in whatever circumstance you're in. It's very personalized and very specific to you, to your walk with Christ, to your life here on earth. Maybe there's nobody else in the building this morning that's going through exactly what you're going through. But yet he promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He promised he'd never give us more than we could bear. But with whatever you're facing, he'd give you a way of escape. He promised all these different things, and you can let them lay there, and no matter how good and how right and how perfect they are, if you don't apply those to your own specific circumstance, it's not going to do you any good. But when you can look into the Word of God and you see things that were said and things that were done, and you can recognize, you know what, that was for me. That wasn't just for Samson. That wasn't just for David. That wasn't just for Jonah. That was for me. That was something that I'm going to apply to myself personally. When you go and you begin to apply these things to yourself, and your situation, your circumstance, your family's need, whatever it would be, then God begins to move on the scene. But it can't just be a God of history. It can't just be a God of brother so-and-so, or your granddaddy, or your grandpa, or your grandma, or your uncle, or your aunt, or the pastor, the deacons, or your mom and dad. It's got to be something that's so personal and so specific to you that when there's a time of need, you can say, Lord, this is my need. This is my circumstance. This is my spiritual walk. This is whatever I'm facing. This is my health. And I'm going to take these words that are wrote in your scripture. I'm going to take the blood that's been shed, and I'm going to apply those things to my circumstance. I'm going to apply those things to my need. Then you can just take your hands off and say, Lord, I've applied it by faith. I've reached down and got some of the hyssop, and I've applied it. I'm taking my hands off it. I'm not going to fight at it. I'm not going to beat at it. I'm not going to argue with people anymore about it. I'm just going to place it in your hands. And once it's been applied, you watch him come on the scene and begin to work. You watch him begin to come on the scene and move. Somebody say, oh my, the doctor said this, and this one said this, and that one said that. Well, that's fine. They're looking at what they can see. But we look beyond that by eyes of faith to the unseen. The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I don't believe a doctor, if he was any kind of good doctor at all, would lead you wrong intentionally. And they may be looking at a chart. They may be looking at an x-ray. They may be looking at a test result or a blood result and saying, look, this is the case. This is what we see. But what they see doesn't have to be the final say. Maybe you're looking at some spiritual conditions of yourself or your own family or what somebody has said or done. That doesn't have to be the final say. It's God that'll have the final say in these situations. God will have the final say. We've seen many times come up, you know, different circumstances we've looked at recently, and even showed the doctor's reports of Brother Joel when they said he had hepatitis B. I believe they really saw that. They had the numbers there and everything on the results. But yet after prayer, they went back and said not only was he completely free of hepatitis B, he didn't have one spot, not even one-tenth of a percent of the hepatitis DNA in his system, but yet and he was also immune to it. We held up the x-ray a few weeks ago of little Olivia's back, how a year ago it had been curved like that and she was 2 inches shorter than she should have been. The doctor saw that. The x-ray showed that. But we looked beyond that with eyes of faith and said, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be like that. Amen. What was it? The application of the word. It wasn't because Brother Nathan said so. It wasn't because I made up in my mind and it was my mind over matter, or because Brother Joel or Sister Christy or some of you said, well, bless God, I'm going to name it and claim it. It was the application of the word.
Amen.
Amen. And his word, our faith in his word brought it to pass. If he can do those things, what can he do for your circumstances this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know for who or for how many this was spoken this morning. Lord, maybe different ones facing different types of needs. Maybe some of them financial, some of them spiritual. Some of them maybe physical or family related. I don't know, Lord, what all the situations are. But Lord, just trusting this morning that you took the words and somehow guided them to be an encouragement to the trials and the circumstances that different ones are facing. Help us to recognize, Father, that when it seems like we've done all that we can, that there's nowhere to turn, that Lord, we still have a place that we can go. We have a cleft in the rock that we can hide in. We have the assurance of your word, Lord, but not just an intellectual faith in your word to say that we understand it or we believe it. That's wonderful, but Lord, we have to take it and apply it to our own situation. Lord, may we by faith this morning take your words and apply them to whatever our circumstance, whatever our situation, whatever our current spiritual walk with you is, Lord. If there's things that we know are little besetting sins or things that would hinder or things that are standing between us in perfect fellowship with you, Lord, may we take and apply the word to those situations. Lord, may you begin to remold us and remake us, Lord, into what you would have us to be. Lord, we place these things into your hand, Lord, knowing that no matter how much I would read the word or quote the quotes or no matter how hard I would preach, Lord, that it's in the people's hands, Lord, that they have to do, Lord, whatever you lead them to do, if they can just yield themselves to your word and to your leading. Lord, may you give them the strength. May you give them the wisdom, Lord, to be able to yield not to their own will or not to their own desire, but may they yield to your word and your will, Father, to whatever you would have for their walk of life. Be with each one, we pray this morning, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, let's sing this together this morning. Oh, pass me not, oh, gentle Savior, just my humble cry. Lord, while on others' back are calling, oh, do not pass me
in heaven but thee. We're crying, Savior, oh Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And why on us thou art calling? Do not pass me by.
As they play that softly, let's just bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Nathan, I don't feel like I've ever applied that blood to my specific situation. I've never really accepted him for myself as Savior. Oh, I've heard it taught. I've heard it preached. I've heard different things said and done. I've seen God move. But I want to make sure this morning that I've made that application for myself, for my life, for my situation. I want to accept him as my personal Savior this morning, to make sure there's nothing between me and the blood. I want to accept him this morning for what he did for me. How many raise your hand this morning and say, I accept him. I accept him for what he did for me. Amen. Amen. The Lord sees each hand. He knows all about it. How many raise your hand and say, I'm seeking the Holy Ghost, Brother Nathan. There's things in my life that I just feel that there's something lacking, something that I have need of. I want the Holy Ghost in my life. I want to apply what has been said in the Word. I don't want to just take it for some other day gone by, but I want to apply it to me, to my life. I want to accept him this morning. I want his Holy Spirit to come into my life. Amen. The Lord sees each hand. He knows all about it. Brother Branham taught us that he wants you to receive it more than you want to receive it. If we can just accept that this morning. Oh my, you say, oh, but Brother Nathan, I've done this. I've made mistakes. I failed over here. I failed over there. I know the Lord knows all about these things that I've done in my life. How could he accept me? He could accept Paul after he had stood there and let him stone Stephen. He could accept him after he had stood there and placed Christian after Christian in jail. He can accept you this morning. He's more than willing to accept you. I know he saw each hand. Don't let that just be something that you just put your hand up just because I said to the invitation to. But may you drive down a stake this morning for whatever you have need of and say, today is my day. I don't want him to pass me by today. I want to accept what he's done for me. It's in his word. I've heard it taught. I've seen it. I've seen what God can do. I've seen him change lives. I don't want that just to be for somebody else or for some other situation, but I accept what he did for me. I apply it to my life. I'm not going to let Satan lie to me anymore, but I accept it this morning. Amen. How many would maybe raise up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I'm facing situations in my financial life or in my family life or in my physical body, sickness and things that are going on, that I've done all that I know how to do. The doctors have done all they know how to do. I put every effort I can to these financial and family situations, but I have a need. I'm just wanting to apply the blood of Jesus to that circumstance this morning. I've got loved ones that have strayed. I've got circumstances I'm facing that I don't want to try to fight it anymore on my own, but I just want to apply the blood to that situation. Oh my, he sees each hand. He sees each hand. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen the hands that were raised. Lord, some seeking salvation, some seeking the Holy Ghost. Lord, so many with different things that they're facing, that they've done all that they know how to do. And they don't know what else to do but just to place it in your hands. Lord, you saw the need behind each hand. You know all about it, Father. We may not know all the circumstances. We may not know all the needs, but you do, Father. Lord, in the sincerity of their hearts, they've raised their hand that they want to not just read about it or hear about it or even just to believe it, but they want to apply what you've done for them, Lord, to these circumstances in their lives, to their spiritual situation, their financial situation, their family situation, their physical situations, Lord. They want to apply what you've done for them, Lord. They want to apply your word. Lord, we thank you for the ability to read it and hear about it. And Lord, for the seed that you've placed down in our hearts to be able to believe it. But Lord, we want to apply it this morning. Lord, as we do, Father, I just ask that you would come on the scene and begin to move in each circumstance, in each situation. Lord, for those that accepted you as their Savior this morning, Lord, may it just be a new start for them, Father. Lord, we know you didn't promise us that we wouldn't have trials, that we wouldn't have problems, but you did promise us that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. May they be able to see your guiding hand in their lives, Father. For those that accepted the Holy Spirit, may you, Father, accept them this morning. May you recognize their faith. Brother Bram said that's what the Holy Ghost was the token that you had accepted their faith. Lord, as they reached down with all that they knew how to do this morning, with every ounce of faith that they knew, to be able to raise their hand and accept it by faith this morning, may you recognize their faith. May they just begin to see such a change in their life, Lord, and Lord, in their desires, in their attitude, in their walk of life. May you just change them completely into your image, Father. For every circumstance that was represented by an uplifted hand, for every need, Lord, may you begin to come on the scene and minister to those needs, we pray, Father. We commit it to you, Father. Oh, Lord, we're depending on you this morning. Whom have we on earth beside you, and whom in heaven but you, Father? We're completely dependent on you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Savior, oh my Savior, won't you sing it this way. Lord, just let me at thy throne of mercy. Help me find a sweet relief. Oh,
brought us through.
Oh, let's stand together and sing it this morning.
Oh, here we are. Lord, we're in your presence. We're lifting holy hands to you. And here we are. Oh, we're praising Jesus for all the things he's brought us through.
Oh, let's worship him this morning.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he doth feed. He supplies supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, you turned the water into wine. To that hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. Oh, there they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all those saints in spotless white, and with Jesus we will. God bless you, you're dismissed. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. My Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed, he supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Saints in spotless white, and with Jesus we will be.